Time?
Oh, we're out late.
Okay,
geez.
Not that it matters. All right.
So this is really all of us that there are?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no. Jim Hanselman was not feeling well.
Yeah, I heard
and
that.
And I'm not sure what's up with Gary.
And you didn't hear from him, Sherry?
I did not hear from Gary. I heard from Jim Hanselman.
His RV was in his driveway.
If we don't have any, if we don't have any, well, this is the work session, so I don't need to do any of this stuff, so it's not public hearing. Probably should still go ahead and do the roll call.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Patrick, here. Bill Brannigan?
Here.
Bob Berman?
Here.
Bradley Escobar? Here. And then Jen Hanselman, Dustin Capri, and Greg Sutton are not here. Okay. All right, first up is draft request for proposals to redevelop the 2.3-acre property at 35th and U.S. 101. Derek?
Yes, I trust you had a chance to take a quick look at that request for proposals. The really what I'm looking for from you, it's about, I tried to keep it at a manageable length. It's about 12 pages. And, you know, this is the 2.3-acre piece at that northeast corner of 35th and 101.
Yeah. Go ahead. Can I stop you there? Driving me crazy reading this whole thing. It's actually southeast 35th throughout. Thank you.
Well, it's southeast and southwest, depending on what side of 101 you're on. It's not southeast on the west side of 101. It's southwest.
No, but for this proposal, I mean by throughout.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
For this proposal.
You want southeast in there?
I think
that would be helpful?
Absolutely. When I first looked at it, US 101 and 35th, and I started thinking about, well, there's 36th and there's 31st.
Yeah.
And yeah, so. All right. Sorry. I didn't mean, yeah.
No worries. No, I appreciate it.
How come our picture is still out of date?
Which one?
The main one that the agency site is an old picture before we did the intersection.
Yeah, I don't have an aerial that's newer. Are you talking about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the project was just wrapped up. I don't have an aerial that shows that yet.
Down.
Down, I've got 240.
So again, this is the site where, you know, South Beach Church is located. They're a tenant of the agency, have been since. Property was acquired in 2015.
New light up here.
Hey, you guys, we're having a meeting here. Bill?
What?
Braulio?
Pardon?
We're
having a meeting.
I know, I was helping Braulio.
You guys find it?
36th Street.
36th Street is, I could find 35th on the map, but I couldn't find 36th.
Up that way.
That'd be the north, not south. He was thinking that without the southeast reference, somebody could take that as on the north side of town.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is the, you know, this is the location where it's about 2.3 acres. South Beach Church is there. We have some storage units there. We have one tenant left. It's Oregon Coast Community Forest Association storing some wood there. They're all on a month-to-month tenancy at this point. But if you notice in structure of the schedule of this RFP, that we would be looking to position the property for redevelopment in 2024. That gives the church ample time to find another location. They've been working on it, but when we do give them official notice, we still want to give them a good amount of time to get to another location and not feel like they have to move out immediately.
Well, when would that, the demolition, I mean, that's not dependent on anything here?
No, and I didn't want to indicate that in here. I wanted some flexibility in terms of how we tackle that. But the objective here would be, once the church and the Community Forest Association are out, the agency would demolish existing structures. We have one underground storage tank that had been decommissioned when the agency acquired the property. It's immediately north of the church. We would pull that out, backfill that, and then do whatever else we need to do to position the site for redevelopment. So there may be some utility work that goes along with that interior to the property as well.
And then that little area south of that lot there, where Hoover's is, it's like a little triangular thing.
Yeah.
The way I kind of read that was that was also going to be developed, but I wasn't sure if that was in the urban.
I'm going to bring that back up here so you can see it. Well,
it was on option C.
Yeah, it's on the on the last one.
But that means somebody's got to buy Arrow. Build Arrow.
Yeah, Arrow and Hoover's are there.
Yeah.
So you may recall those three options were the options in the refinement plan that were that the public felt generally comfortable with based on the the feedback we'd received from folks in terms of what they would like to see there. Those were the three options. We wanted to build all three into the RFP, not knowing what kind of proposal we'd get from a developer. And, to your point, Bill, about Hoover's and Arrow, that property would only be in play if the property owners were willing to participate. If they're not, then the agency doesn't do anything there.
So if we went with option C, then if Hoover's and Arrow didn't want to participate, option C would be off the table.
Right. So a proposer, and I've tried to be clear about that in the RFP. And so if a proposer is looking at this and says, well, I really am interested in it, if both pieces could be in play, we would expect that to be included in their proposal. That's what we'd be looking for. So, this is something we would put on the street to a range of developers and try to get it circulated fairly well. And what we have in here, what I did, just so you know, in preparing this, I took a look at a couple of different RFPs that were put out by different. I'm not sure what's going on.
What does that keep going on?
I'm not touching anything.
It must be Sherry.
I think so. Yeah.
I just hiccuped up there. I took a look at RFPs that were put out by a couple of different jurisdictions. Eugene was one, and the other one I think was up in St. Helens. So just to kind of get a sense of how they were framed, and. So, really part of it's an introduction, so that they have a little bit of and site context, kind of spell out what the objectives are. And in this case, the objectives, are to create a neighborhood hub and gateway to South Beach, support food entrepreneurs and surrounding businesses, provide a gathering space for residents and visitors with a variety of retail and or restaurant choices, and create a stopping point for users of the pedestrian cycling network that connects the site with key destinations. Those really were the pieces that were built into the refinement plan. That's what we had vetted and had general public agreement on. Then I went in to provide, some context, and this is, again, just, what are kind of surrounding uses do you have so they can, Bob.
Oh, we're on this page?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you want us to do is interject here?
Yeah, interject.
You know how I am.
That's fine, yeah.
All right. The map on the legend, it shows some city limits, but there aren't any city limits. But there may be, but it's really hard. It means nothing, that legend, city limits.
Okay.
They're all the streets are shown in the same symbol as the city limits might have been.
All right.
Okay. And then on the paragraph that starts with the site, we're seeing the end of that paragraph says Aquarium Village. Yeah, up. No, you were there. Up. Right there.
Oh, and Aquarium Village?
It's not the Newport Aquarium. It's the Oregon Coast Aquarium. And it's not the Hatfield Center. It's the Hatfield Marine Science Center.
Oh, it's a PDF. I'll just fix it when I get to it. Oregon Coast. Okay. Spelled out opportunities and challenges, that exist at this location, just so that they're, they're aware of it. They probably come to those same conclusions. They may see other opportunities and challenges as well as a proposer, but we threw a few of them out there. And then I think the development considerations is a biggie because we wanted to make sure that they understood, when the site would be available because we need to put that out there. I need to talk to the city council as the Urban Renewal Agency, will be doing that at their upcoming meeting next Monday, to see where they want to land in terms of the tenants needing to vacate. But I would expect that that would be sometime in 2023, and ideally after the summer season, construction season. Because I believe the church is looking at a property to do a build-to-suit type project. Wanted to give them a clear sense of what the condition of the property would be in when they take possession of it. All utilities are available. Accesses are where they've already been approved and constructed. We're not looking to move those around. Environmentally, there really are no environmental constraints. Wanted to spell that out. Wanted to disclose, you know, that there was that one tank, as I outlined, that we would be taking care of that. And we did level or phase one and phase two environmental back in 2015 when we acquired it, and I've got all those records. For development charges, again, this is a cost issue a developer would want to know. You know, I kind of spelled out that at least with respect to SDCs, there really will not be any that are payable because of the credits that go with this property from the prior uses within the last 10 years.
Yeah, I was a little confused about that. I mean, mm-hmm. Those credits, are they for those two cruddy buildings that are there?
No, there's also for flashbacks. That's what okay. I said, which in addition to the above included a 4,675 square foot restaurant and then a 240 right. square foot drive-through coffee establishment. So those would be the two additional uses that were on the property. And a restaurant in of itself carries massive credits for transportation and water utilization, water and sewer utilization. Drive-through coffee establishment, even a small one, also has quite a bit of traffic generation credits. So I don't expect there to be, you know, when you add it all up, any SDCs that are payable with this.
Okay, so you think there may be additional SDCs would have to actually be waived. Should it turn out that that particular development, you add up the SDCs and you subtract the credits, if there's a balance there, that won't be payable anyway.
Right. So if you had more credits than would be payable, then there's no SDC paid. That remaining credit balance goes nowhere.
Oh, right. But I'm talking about if you had SDCs payable mm-hmm. and fewer credits.
Correct. You have to pay the difference.
Huh?
So yeah, if you had $1,000 of credit and $2,000 of SDC charges, you got to pay $1,000.
But that isn't what it says here.
No, what it says here is you're going to have more credits than you have payable SDCs.
Right.
So that means it's zero.
But you know that that's going to be the case?
Yeah. I don't see any. I mean, I usually am not this definitive, but that is such a massive okay. amount of credits. I'm not worried about it.
The only way you could possibly get it over is to put two 2,000 square foot restaurants there. Then you might be able to pay some SDC fees.
Okay.
But anything else that's on this list, it's just not going to add up.
Okay.
But, well, the question I want to ask is, when does the clock run out on that?
Well, it's 10 years from when the improvements were removed. And I want to say we took the old Flashbacks building out a few years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's not going to run out before 2024.
Okay. But I think
that's a good question.
We better stick an expiration date on it so that, you know, it might get a developer to move quicker if they actually think.
Oh, good point.
Yeah, and what about the surcharges?
I think they still have to pay those. They have to pay the
affordable housing thing in the school district.
The affordable housing and the school district stuff would apply to the project.
Okay,
and I did put those in there. So the school construction excise tax and affordable housing excise tax and building permit fees will apply to new development.
Yep.
Talked a little bit about zoning. It did indicate that the agency would be addressing or is committed to addressing the zoning limitations that would impede the redevelopment of the property, namely that 50-foot setback in the I-1 and changing that to a commercial zone. And we've talked about that. So we'll be in, and that's on the work program. So, you know, the point here is we would address that before they obtain the property. Then talk a little bit about agency's commitment to kind of creating kind of a gateway in the South Beach area and what funds have been reserved for that purpose. And some examples, which I pulled right out of the refinement plan. And then the language here is also out of the refinement plan, because this, that's what's been vetted with the agency already, which is the value of the land is in play. The agency can drive that down to attract a developer to this location. We could offer the full cost of the land as a write-down, but our preference would be to not exceed $750,000.
What is the value of the land?
Well, when we acquired it, that's a good question, because once we acquired it, I believe that went off the tax rolls, so I have no way of seeing what the assessor thinks it is. We acquired it about $1.5 million in 2015. So I... $1,525,000 to be exact. So I expect it's somewhere between that and $2 million.
Okay. And well, one little note that your caption on the two photographs there.
Yeah.
There's some bold that shouldn't be there.
Oh yeah.
And I wasn't exactly sure what you meant by a rest area. I mean it, that term immediately brings to mind rest area for, you know, people driving in cars and pulling over and taking a leak. But that isn't what you meant in the middle of that paragraph about the public-private?
No, that's not. I mean, it's kind of more a rest area for users of the multi-use path. You got a better term for it?
No.
The loo area.
Just a, you know, just a bit of a spot for them to stop. Maybe it's a stopping point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And talked a little bit about public outreach. Wanted to make them aware that some degree of public outreach has been already done to get to where we're at with the concepts, you know, that we have. But also to put them on notice that, you know, the successful proposer, their vision for the site is going to have to be further vetted with the public as well. So that's, there's two pieces to that.
What's your mechanism for that? I mean, proposals come in. Normally, you get a few people together and score them and go into award mode. But
I think it's after the award and the design is further refined, that's when the public vetting really happens. But it's a good point. At what point does that happen?
Yeah, that isn't what this says.
Well, it says encourage review the document, which had the prior public outreach, and then anticipate public vetting of their vision before a proposal is selected by the agency. Yeah.
Yeah. So you may want to rework that. And there, if you don't, change the wording. They're in the third line on that paragraph.
Well, apparently my head was right where you were at the first time.
All right. There's a comma missing after the word plan in the third line.
Okay. Oh, maybe. I'll put some thought to that before. Then we went through the example concepts. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time because if you have some, you know, wordsmithing, that's appreciated. But these are the three examples that were in the refinement plan. I just reiterated them here.
The very first line, there's a comma at the end of it that doesn't belong.
Oh.
And an alternative B,
mm-hmm.
When I read it, it just sort of jumped out at the end there, filling gaps in the South Beach Market. South Beach Market is the name of a business. So maybe South Beach Environment or South Beach something. South Beach Market just immediately jumped out at me as something that's, somebody's already using that name.
South Beach area?
Yeah, you know.
Neighborhood,
yeah.
Got it. Okay, then I got into the submission and evaluation piece of this, outlining what the criteria are, and then provided some guidance in terms of how they structure the submittal and how many pages and how it would be scored. Did you have any feedback on that or seem logical?
Well, the 50% seems heavy, but that, I guess, is the really meat of the thing.
Right. That's kind of where I was thinking as well. But I still wanted to leave a substantial amount of points out there for financial capacity and their experience in carrying out projects. And then I kind of set out a schedule, and this is all subject to change, too, once talked to the Urban Renewal Agency about it, but I wanted to kind of put it out there.
Okay, I'm back. The paragraph right before evaluation schedule, you say you can either submit it electronically or a hard copy. If you're going to say hard copy, you need to say how many copies they have to submit, because you don't want to do all that copying.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Schedule seem reasonable?
Well, depending on that outreach thing.
Yeah. Well, I know that's true. And then just kind of tie it off here with the public records disclosure, so they know that when they submit a proposal to the city or the Urban Renewal Agency is a public entity, any documents they provide us are available to the public, unless, you know, there's that trade secret carve out that if they can demonstrate it's a trade secret, there's an exemption to the public records laws for that. That's it. Any other thoughts on that one?
No, I think it was a nice job.
Thank you.
Okay. And that was it on that one, right? So now we're on Transportation System Plan, Part 1.
Yeah.
Comprehensive plan changes.
Right. And on this one, Bob, if you have a number of edits, can you email those to me instead of us going over the commas and the...
Sure.
Because I'm happy to make any of those changes. I know this needs needs more work. But if it's substantive, let's make sure to hit the substantive stuff.
All right. Some of the changes I submitted previously made it in one place but not another. And yeah.
So, okay.
Okay. I can do that separate from this discussion.
Okay. Oh, and Gary's here, just for the record.
I am. I finally made it.
Okay, so just to be clear, this is a lot of moving language around, but what we have to do is we have to take that transportation system plan and adopt it into the city's comprehensive plan. To do that, I needed to take the transportation system plan full copy, which is the February 2022, and the and relevant information out of the executive summary, which is the March of 2022, and work it into how we have our comprehensive plan organized. And what that meant is there's two documents that I'll be going over. One is the transportation system plan summary, which is just kind of a summary of what's in the plan. And then there's the goals and policies, which are housed in a separate part of the comprehensive plan with the goals and policies of the other facility plans, airport facility plan, water system plan, wastewater plan, stormwater plan, so on and so forth. And so I'll be hitting them in turn. And this is part one. Part two at your next meeting would be the review of the code revisions, which are going to be far more detailed. And you've already reviewed the codes in work session, but you'll see it worked into the municipal code, so it's going to look different. And I do have Angelo Planning Group, who is the sub on this project, who is the code specialist. They still have a little bit of budget. And so what I'm going to be doing is sharing with them the code changes, get their feedback. And so what you'll see at your next work session will be a copy of the code changes that will have had the benefit of their comment. The comprehensive plan policy stuff is less complicated. That said, there's some things that I want to talk to you about. So first part here, I want to emphasize, you know, that by reference will be the ordinance that amends the comprehensive plan will be adopting the full TSP by reference. So while we have a summary in the comprehensive plan, there will be, we have a large appendices to the comprehensive plan that has the full copies of these various facility plans. In this case, the full copy of the TSP.
Including the executive summary and everything.
Correct, all of it.
Because this summary has a lot of stuff from the executive summary.
Right, okay. It does.
So it's gonna,
but the executive summary will be in the full TSP
okay.
as an appendices. You know, the critical community issues piece is straight out of the executive summary. There is the language in the footnote that talks about the different ordinances. Each one of those ordinances adopted a TSP. And so that's just our way of keeping track of the daisy chain of ordinance changes. This TSP replaces the prior plans. You may hear people through the public hearings process say, what about the 2012 TSP or the 2008 bike ped plan or the Coho Brant plan? Or there were a number of plans, refinement plans and full plans that were done in the past. They are replaced with this. The projects that were unimplemented in those plans have been incorporated into this where they still made sense. And that's made clear in the TSP and in here as well. We talk a little bit about system context, again, which gives, you know, without doing a deep dive in demographics, and you see a lot more of the demographics in the full TSP. This just has a very simple summary. You know, I tried to keep this brief, and it's not easy, so you still end up with a fairly large document, in part because, and I'll pull a citation out of administrative rule for the public hearing, but when we do these summaries in the comp plan, we actually have to include the fiscally constrained projects. Bob, you may recall when we had the discussion at the PAC meeting about the executive summary, there was a desire not to have them in the executive summary, have them in an appendices because they made the executive summary too big. Mm-hmm. But for purposes of the comprehensive plan, we're required to include the projects in there.
Really?
So and I'll have that provision so you can take a look at it.
It sure makes everything unreadable, you know, abiding by some of these regulations.
Yeah. I get it. You had the whole fiscally constrained discussion about whether or not those terms are correct. That was part of it as well.
Carl did some good work on that. He mm-hmm. got rid of some of the references to that and said potentially fundable or something. I don't know. He changed the terminology a little.
DKS is on the hook for participating in the two public hearings and for making a final full set of revisions to the TSP. That's basically all we have left with DKS right now. So, you know, again, this is contextual information that was pulled from the executive summary. Existing and anticipated future transportation conditions, similarly pulled from the executive summary. Along with the system performance pieces. Some of this, there are a few pieces I pulled in from the full plan. You know, when we get into the functional classifications, you have the functional classification roadway maps and the freight maps, which establish these. These are all the actual street standards will be included in code. So when you get the code changes, you'll see the actual street standards, like the widths, the local, the shared street provisions, the cross sections will land in the code, not the comprehensive plan. So it's kind of divide and conquer a little bit here.
I have a question on the figure one, functional classification of roads, north map.
Got it.
Got it. So we have Avery and 73rd as major collector.
Just on the east side.
East side. And then we've got 71st Street essentially as a neighborhood collector.
Correct.
I know an awful lot of people on 71st Street because I walk it every day. And a lot of those people, when they get down to Avery, take a right, go up Avery, and then come out on 73rd. And the reason they do that is because at 73rd there is a suicide lane, what I call a suicide lane. Whereas down at 71st, there's no suicide lane, so it's much more difficult coming out trying to take a left on 71st. So I'm wondering whether or not on Avery there we should have...
Between 73rd and 71st?
Yeah, that should be extended and be a yellow line or a green line connecting up to 73rd, because a lot of people do that, particularly if they're taking a left-hand turn.
Good point. Well, now, my inclination on that is if we make the change, and I have no problem with making the change, I would suggest it be a neighborhood collector because we don't have any kind of industrial or commercial uses there. It's residential up to 73rd, and then it begins to transition into...
Right.
And you may recall the distinction between neighborhood collector and major collector, really the neighborhood collectors are those that serve more of a residential purpose. They're collecting traffic from residential areas, and they're eligible for traffic calming if a decision is made to deploy traffic calming. So what I'll do is, you know, we can certainly put that out there, and what we're doing right now is we're running the tracking sheet, which I included in your packet. And, you know, that's actually, you know, I had shared that with Wendy as well. She had provided one of the comments relative to NEF. And I sent her an email to let her know, you know, that the project advisory committee actually had recommended that NEF go to a neighborhood collector. It's on the tracking sheet, so that change will be made. So we could add that if that's something you would like to add to that collectively.
Well, I mean, a lot of people do it, so...
No, I concede, but I don't want to make it a major collector because their standards on it are a whole lot different. Like
I mean, it could be a neighborhood collector.
Yeah, that makes sense, but...
Got it written down. Any other thoughts on these?
Well, I didn't mean to do it much of this, but figure six... is not downtown.
Oh, thank you.
And how come where you couldn't ahead and Zabo's is, how come that's not a collector on the right-hand side of the highway?
I'm heading back that way again. Okay. Sorry, some of these edits at times become mind-numbing when I'm doing it. So
Gotta get it down before you forget it.
Okay, so we're back up to the north side.
North side from Zabo's, right across from where you turn to go out to the Uquinta Head. That's not a neighborhood collector, and that really is. That's as big a neighborhood as 55th Street, if not bigger.
Lucky Gap?
Yeah, whatever that road is. I can't remember what it is. But
doesn't meet any standards.
Yeah.
Drive up.
Well... But. If you do make it a collector, then we've got an opportunity to get something done to it.
I would suggest not doing anything to Lighthouse Drive. You do have the...
I don't mean on that side. I mean on the right-hand side. The left-hand side's not...
No, that's fair. How far up, Jim? I don't know.
Up to...
I would say the entrance to the mobile home park.
Yeah.
Just zag it up to the north. Okay, I see what you're saying. Just to the entrance of the
mobile
was it Longview
home.
Hills
Longview
up there?
Hills, Longview Hills, yeah. Hills. Yeah, and it would be nice to have that on the list, because then it might actually get upgraded someday, because it's an interesting road.
It's a mess up there.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on these maps?
So. You're doing Neff, right? So.
Yeah, Neff is going to get picked up as a neighborhood collector.
And do we have any intentions of completing 7th Street?
No. That's why those were pulled. Those actually, 7th had been originally flagged as a neighborhood collector, but then we decided to pull those because.
Okay, well, they're still on this map, though.
Mm-hmm, I thought we'd yank those.
No, they're still on here.
Yeah, they still show. I think they must be on the tracking sheet is coming off. I'll verify that.
Okay.
We had talked about that. No, those would take bridge structures, and I just don't see the value in it. I mean, that'd be a very, very substantial expense. And your freight, South Beach.
Why is Harney the dead ends at 7th of freight? For the fairgrounds?
Well, part of it would be your road and driveway up to 3rd.
Yeah.
But then you also have the county and city shops further up.
That's true.
So I think that's why that was designated for freight.
Okay.
And I, you know, Bob will recall this. There was some public comment. I think Janet Webster made the comment while the PAC was still, Project Advisory Committee was still meeting, about freight routes and whether or not the route to on the Bay Boulevard to Natterland made more sense, or the one up up Bay Street to 13th up by the hospital. Be a couple of different routes on the west end, which one made more sense for freight. I did talk to some of the operators down there, and I haven't had a chance to talk to Bornstein yet, and I need to do that. But that's not a direction freight generally goes at all. It almost invariably goes to Moore because you're not accessing 101. Again, the freight routes are those that, if we make a future improvement, we need to keep in mind freight routes, because then we would need to make the travel lanes wider to accommodate larger vehicles. I think it's fine as mapped. Unless Bornstein comes back and says we really, really need to go the opposite way, their grades are about the same. I don't know that we're going to want to route stuff up 13th, because you've got homes on that. You go up 13th, you go around the corner, you have quite a few homes that directly access that. You don't have that on Natterland. You've got the Coast Guard, and beyond that, you have nothing. And so one of the things with these freight routes is you have that with Moore, is you don't want to have a bunch of residences loading onto that, because you do have heavy truck traffic. So.
Why on, I'm looking at South Beach, 35th Street, going east, after trying to cross the 101, we got onto Ferry Slip, and then we have a major collector on the rest of 35th, but really doesn't, I mean, that major collector doesn't connect with a whole lot of residences out there.
You mean 35th out towards Idaho Point?
Yeah.
Well, remember, Idaho Point is in our urban growth boundary. That is an area that could urbanize in the future.
Well, I think it makes sense.
Should it be a major collector or a neighborhood collector?
Oh, I don't know. What is it? What is it listed as, a major collector?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to think of it as a major collector.
You do?
Yeah. at least to that point.
Then it turns into a county road out to Idaho.
Yeah, yeah. It becomes, yeah. But there's not that much out in Idaho Point.
Yet.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah. And there's some big chunks of property that could urbanize really quick, provided they can get them out of this.
You got a lot of wetlands and steep slopes over there. That's the challenge.
Yeah. If you can get past the wetland issue, you got it. Besides the place, it's a place for the elk to lay down at.
Okay, I'm going to move past the maps at this point, if that's okay. Talk a little bit about multimodal network design. Then we get into kind of the fiscally constrained, you know, how much money we actually have available for projects. And we get into the project list, the aspirational project lists proper. Notice I call them aspirational projects likely to be funded instead of fiscally constrained. I did that just to make people feel a little bit more comfortable.
Oh, you did that. I thought Carl did.
No, I did that.
I hassled him so much.
And you know, this is the same project list, Bob, that you guys saw as a pack. I just formatted it to fit a portrait size sheet. So that's the only change. I didn't change any of the projects.
I like the wording on that better than
fiscally constrained.
Yeah. So as we get, because I mean, all these projects all. I mean, I've you know, problem is I've seen this stuff for 20-something years. and there's some things on that list that have been here since I've been here, you know. You get to them when you can get to them and when you've got the money to do it and there's actually a need.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I get past the project list, I get to the maps. The maps can be pretty busy. One thing we had have done, and I included it in my note to you, is, you know, as we move into this public hearing phase, we've updated the project website and we included an interactive mapping component there. That is not something DKS did. We did that. We have a new GIS tech who was.
It doesn't work at the moment, is it?
It does. It should. If you're having difficulty, let me know. I've used
it. All I could get was city limits and UGB to go on and off, and I got nothing else. Clicked on those other things and nothing happened.
Okay, I'll double back on that because I have played around with it to see that the functionality was working. So something must be.
It's either a different browser problem or something. But
okay, that's good for me to know. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll check it out again because I just thought it was just in development and it's someplace where you can actually visualize.
Now, and where is this on the city site?
Yeah, I'll show you since I've got everything teed up here. So we'll just go. You can get it in a couple ways. You can there's a banner bar that scrolls on the city website that allow you to click and go to it, or you can get to it through the Newport TSP website. So you'll see it right here. And what it does is it brings this guy up, and you can explore. So if you're coming in and taking a look at it, you want to look at different things. Right now, say I want to look at here's your functional classification mapping. So, you know, you have your – so that's what's on right now with this little – if I want to hide it, I can hide it. If I want to throw the freight routes up, I can throw those up. If I want to look at specific aspirational projects, so say I just want to look at, so if I want to bring the aspirational multimodal up, that's what I just did. But say, okay, I've got all these up, it's too much for me. All I really want to look at, if you zoom out too far,
I think problem. I zoomed out to the whole thing because,
He built in some minimum display stuff.
Okay, I'll have to double check that. But if you turn everything off but the boundaries, if you won't mind, and zoom out.
Okay. All right, it looks like everything's off but the boundaries.
Yeah.
You should have the proper boundary one, too. I gave them the fixed.
Well, it's not quite. Now, if you expand boundaries, you can switch between UGB and city limit.
So.
Yeah, so there's, well.
Well, UGB's not even showing right now. Now it does. He's got them on different layers.
Okay, well, anyway, I didn't see the annexation there on.
Zoom in a little bit.
Ooh, good point. I don't know that I talked to him about that one.
At the end of 36th, isn't it right up in there?
Yeah, the UGB area, UGB expansion.
Yeah, the UGB and the city limits, I think, are still both shown where.
I can talk to him about it.
Arnie, you know, went out of both in the past, is still showing that way.
But all in all, I think you did a pretty good job of kind of getting them in here.
I think that's fabulous. Yeah.
And you can, so if you're just interested, for example, you're like, you know, I really want to talk about safer crossings. I'm not, you know, that's really what I want to focus on. You can just bring up the enhanced crossings and you can see where they're at. Okay. Yeah. So when you're going through the project list between now and the public hearing and you're just trying to get your head around, hey, what's how these things fit together, this is going to be a helpful tool for that, yeah. Both you guys and the council.
And of course, you're going to be able to click on that CR8 and have the description of the project pop up, right?
Yep, you should. We have it built in there. Click on that. Maybe I have to click on the red. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's up here. You click on the red dot, and it's up on the left.
Fabulous.
We tried a hover on that one, Bob, and it was just a.
Oh no.
There's a hover feature and it just drives you nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is you can't keep it open. As soon as you try to do it, you do a hover, you can't see the whole thing.
No, this works is great, a side panel. And yeah.
So please share it too with anybody who's interested.
This is good stuff.
No, so. I like that.
Is this the new GIS guy that?
Yep. Yeah, Carl. Okay. Nudzinski is his last name, and he's a GIS specialist that we recently hired, and this is one of his first projects. So
he's a keeper, it looks like.
Yeah, he's done a nice job with this one. And so, yeah, I would encourage you to just play around with this, get familiar with it, and I think it'll be helpful as, you know, you think about the different projects, particularly if you get pushback on projects or people are concerned about one project versus another. You can isolate them and see them that way.
The only project thing that I don't think, you know, I mean, you said all these project descriptions came right out of the final document, but I thought we had decided that Nye Street extension was going to be two options.
We did. It's on the tracking sheet, Bob.
It's on the tracking sheet.
Yeah, that's on the tracking sheet.
All right.
Should you know, I've got that in here. It was in your packet. But that should be on the tracking sheet because it was decided kind of late at the last meeting.
All right.
I'm on page 243. I was looking at this and looking at the colors, but you got some of them are financially constrained instead of aspirational on the maps. Need to pick those up. Some of the downtown map and the projects or project numbers are called financially constrained project number instead of aspirational.
All right, I'll try to do that. Some of the stuff's hard for me. If it's in a fixed format, I have to reach out to Carl.
But if you're gonna use one term, you should stick with it. I thought for some reason it showed, well, up on that one, it shows up that way.
I am gonna use it in one spot just to correlate the two. So that there's something in the record saying fiscally, the aspirational here are fiscally constrained projects within the meaning of the transportation planning rule.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to go with the nuke term, nuke fiscally constrained term. I will try to clean this up a little bit more, but the one thing that this update didn't do was mess around with that whole trip budget program that we have in South Beach. And so I have to keep some language in the comp plan that explains why we have a trip budget in South Beach. And so that's what I tried to keep here. I'll try to trim that language down a little bit. I didn't have time, so I just carried it over from the existing TSP. But we have to have something in there that provides policy direction for that, and this TSP update didn't modify that.
So this document will actually go into the comp plan.
Correct.
And reference the full document.
Correct.
And at some point, there will be a single PDF.
Of the full document.
Of the full document, including all the appendices and everything.
Correct.
1,000-page document.
Yeah, it'll be massive.
Yeah, okay.
And only you will have been the only one who've read all of it. So that's what the balance of this is, the South Beach overlay. So that's that piece. The other has to do with the goals. We have a number of other goals and policies that are in the plan right now. And so one thing I'm going to be doing is just verifying if any of those need to stay in some capacity to satisfy certain state requirements. If they do, you'll see them reappear. If they don't, they'll go away for good. The goals and policies that you see reflected here are the same goals and policies that were in the TSP that were reviewed by the Project Advisory Committee. There may be a little bit of minor wordsmithing here and there to make it flow, but that's really what I was doing. I just brought them in. So you have, well, except for goal one, that's the one where it's kind of the overarching that we're adopting the TSP, the full TSP. And this is one where, as we do refinement plans, they get programmed in under goal one. So, for example, we will, in a few months, have a new refinement plan for the natural area, the Quinhead BLM natural area over there. Outstanding natural area, if I don't want to butcher it. And that calls for a number of changes in interior to the BLM property, but also relative to the intersection at Lighthouse Drive. So that would be adopted into the comprehensive plan under Goal 1, Policy 1. The others, safety, mobility and accessibility, active transportation, these all align with what's in the TSP, grow the economy, environment, support healthy living. I'm going to stop under, was it grow the economy? Goal 5, Policy 5. Implement transportation solutions in commercial core areas along US 101 and US 20 that promote economic revitalization of these areas, in addition to addressing broader transportation needs of the community. If there's one area in the plan where you would, through the public hearings process, have some discussion and debate, I would expect it's going to be the whether or not to do a couplet or not do a couplet. My question to you is, do you want to use this process to sort that out? Or do you want to go with language like this, which leaves the door open to either option? Because we are going to be doing that city center revitalization project where we're looking at kind of the private side standards in the downtown area. And I could just load into that, hey, consultant, we're looking at two different potential you need to assume one of these two options would be developed. You need to sync up the private side standards to work with each. If you have some recommendations as to why one might work better than the other, we're welcome to it. Because already we've had SARA Architects take a look at this, provide their recommendation through this process. We've had DKS provide their recommendation as well. And, you know, we did a degree of public outreach, through the pandemic, it had its limitations. We've had a chance to talk about what those limitations were. Between the two couplet options, one of which has been dropped, you had a little over 40% of the public said that's what they like. You had a little higher percentage, and still also in the 40s, that didn't want to see it, wanted to see two-way traffic stay on 101. I don't know that they fully understood that the two-way traffic on 101 means you have to put a bike lane on 9th, which is what the state would require, which would take out parking over there. So that's part of the discussion, too. What option is the one that's most likely to be conducive to redevelopment of downtown? That's the debate and discussion. So my question really is, I mean, we can tackle it one of two ways. I can frame that as a policy option, and we can, through this process, pick one. Or I can leave it like this and say, you know, these two options are still both on the table. They're in the TSP. And when we do the downtown revitalization project here, which on the heels of the TSP, that will be the forum to finally select one of the two. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I'm just...
Good to put both languages up at the same time.
I don't have the other language drafted right now. The other language would be a policy option to say you either do the couplet option A or maintain on the
I think leave it like this, and we'll deal with that later, because I don't think there's a good consensus on that yet. And like you said, I didn't really like the process under the COVID rules. I don't think we got good.
I'm thinking run it through one more process. We've got it down to two options now. They're clearly defined. At least we've taken it so far. Run it through that process. We will undoubtedly have another consulting firm that's involved, and we'll have a chance to kind of poke at that some more.
You're talking about the downtown revitalization.
Yep.
Yeah.
And use that process to
narrow this one down.
To narrow it all the way down.
Yeah. Then they can
that
pick
seems
one.
Seems to make the most sense.
Everyone really want to try to do it in this project. I mean, there's enough on this plate already.
Well, that's the other thing. You can take that one issue and sidetrack everything. And as you know, you look at this, there's a lot of stuff
exactly
in here.
That's exactly what'll happen.
And so maybe better to make that final selection through a refinement plan that's really focused on that area alone.
Yeah, but how can you do a refinement plan if you don't know which one of those options is going
to I think what prevail. We would be doing is asking them to make a recommendation based on their view of what's necessary for redevelopment down there and kind of sinking the private side stuff. And so have them make a recommendation on it.
That makes more sense. You're looking at how you're going to revitalize it and which of these two options will do a better job of revitalizing it.
Yeah. So you have a degree of that already in here that Sarah did with the different options when you guys had the joint work sessions. But this would take it maybe to another level with just that same kind of focus on that geographic area.
Well, yeah, it'd be narrowed down to just that. I mean, that was the problem with doing this stuff is sometimes it's so large, people just focus on the one thing and they ignore everything else.
Yeah. If you look through the comments from the TSP outreach, you know, people didn't address anything but the hot button issues.
Yeah.
Right. And even there, they were addressing it sometimes with limited information.
Yeah.
You know, so. Okay, well, I'll keep it that way because this Goal 5, Policy 5 keeps it such that either option's in play with the emphasis on promoting the revitalization of the area. Then we have environment, supporting healthy living, preparing for change, fiscal responsibility. These are all the way through Goal 10, working with regional partners. These are all what you would expect in a comprehensive plan, goals and policies that then will be implemented with the code language that you're going to be seeing, or at least many of them will be. And the code, that's again, code language you've already seen before, but we'll have it for your next work session. Seem reasonable?
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome.
All right. Just one quick question about this hit list or the tracking sheet.
At what point
did those things actually get incorporated back into the document?
No, that's a good question. I talked to Carl about it, and the thought was we'd do that between Planning Commission and City Council. So we'd have the full hearing with the Planning Commission. You guys would be signing off with the tracking sheet, and then it all gets rolled in for the Council with the expectation that they're not going to be making major changes post-Planning Commission recommendation. They usually don't make major changes after you've made your recommendation, so...
Did you do anything about the public comment?
You know, just acknowledge it at this point. You had the note from Jeff Bertolite, which petition, and the petition I believe is the same petition he'd submitted to the project advisory committee as public comment. I think it was by like PAC meeting 7 or 8. It was one of the two where we talked about that as well. So expressing a desire not to see the couplet in the plan.
Have you captured all those names and addresses to put them on the big list of everybody that wanted to be notified about it?
Yes, and on that note, on notification, what the plan is to send out, we have over 300 people on the email distribution list that was built up through the process with something like that, right? Through the TSP outreach process, we'd be notifying all those people for the Planning Commission hearing. We can also do a postcard by general delivery like we did previously. we'll do it. We can do it for the Planning Commission. I'd prefer not to do it for Planning Commission and Council. I think you're not going to get much more. If they're not engaging at Planning Commission, they're not going to engage at Council. That's my thought, you know, at this point.
Huh? Okay. All right. And then any unfinished business on the work session?
I don't believe I had any in the work session.
Okay. Then we'll close that meeting and open the Planning Commission regular session agenda.